Hey, how's it going? This is Alex, and you're listening to Layman's Terms. Today's episode, we will be focusing on a lot of the pitfalls that we have as student leaders, especially the two pitfalls of gossip and finding our identity in the work that we do instead of finding our identity in Jesus Christ and in the way that we love. So thank you for listening. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to this week's episode of Layman's Terms. We're happy to have you. Alex, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I am Alex Shannon, by the way. learned from our mistake of last week.
Yeah, my name is Trevor Bereka. Not that you'll ever remember that. Just remember it's just those two blokes that don't know what they're talking about.
Yep.
And you'll be good.
So. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure most people that listen to the podcast know us, but I feel like there's a lot of people, like, whenever you first start listening to a podcast, you can't tell who's talking because you just don't know the difference between the two voices.
Yeah.
So, and if you just find, if you just stumble across this podcast somehow and you're listening to this and we both just sound like the same person, then you don't have to care about the introductions.
Yeah, we're actually doing a contest next week where we're giving away $100 to whoever can spot our voice without us actually making words. We're just gonna make guttural noises and hope and see who can like figure out whose voice is whose.
That's a fake contest.
I'm just actually, kidding. That contest doesn't exist.
There's no way I'm pulling
but
up to that.
If we get enough followers on this podcast, maybe that contest will exist.
Maybe one day.
So
Yeah.
So we're moving right in. Godly or ghastly.
Oh baby.
This week. We got a good one for you. This week's topic is whether or not music artists, actors,
or podcast
recorders.
Yeah.
Do you listen to your own or watch your own content?
Should you?
Yeah. So we're gonna start right now, Alex. What do we think?
So my opinion is, I think it's fine to listen to your own podcast to kind of see like the quality. But if you're just like going back and listening to your own podcast all the time, that's a little whack. At first, the first time we released the podcast, I just like wanted to listen through it and be like, all right, it's like, you know, I just like wondered how it turned out and stuff. And then I kind of felt weird at the end because I was like, I felt weird at the end because I finished up. I can't focus now because I just realized how often I'm saying I'm sorry. Trevor, you're up.
Hey, so actually we're gonna pause right in the middle of this godly ghastly. We made an agreement at the beginning of this that every time we use a vocal filler so we're going to like count each other off, which is really gonna get, if we get distracted at some point, we'll probably just yell out vocal filler and then we'll just keep going. So anyway,
let me actually finish out my time
there. Yeah, all right, you have 13 seconds left. Conclude.
It can be good though because of stuff like that, because the reason we decided to do that was I was listening to the beginning of our last episode and realized that I said at least 4 or 5 times in the span of 1 minute, and I wanted to stop doing that, so...
That's fair. Yeah, I'm going to say it's a godly thing to listen to your own content. Because who's a better critic of yourself than yourself? That's right. I'm going to quote even the Holy Scriptures on this one. Jesus says, before you remove the splinter from your brother's eye, remove the log from your own. If I'm going to attempt to listen to other podcasts, if I'm going to attempt to, you know, put out good content for people, it's probably important that I critique myself and see what kind of mistakes I'm making, maybe figure out what kind of things are good, especially in this beginning period where we're still figuring out our identity, right? We're trying to make a podcast that's actually worth your time.
True.
And if you're listening and they've listened to our episodes thus far, hopefully you've concluded that it is indeed worth your time. So,
also, though, I feel like it can be kind of conceited if you're just listening to your own stuff all the time.
Well, yeah. You know? I mean, definitely, like, if you're, like, listening to it, like, when you get up in the morning or something like that, like, it's probably a little strange. You might have a little bit of narcissism happening there. And in that case, we recommend you to go to a Catholic counselor or a psychiatrist. No, I'm just kidding. All right. So, yeah, that's what, at the end of this, we conclude godly or ghastly?
I'm kind of on the ghastly side.
Dude, I'm going to go godly. I think it's important to critique your own self.
Mm-hmm. It is, but you can easily kind of get carried away. Sure. It's kind of weird.
Just remember that you're Clark Kent. You're not Superman. There we go. That's what we got this morning for you. all right. Gosh. I should probably leave the joke making to Alex, but here we are. Dude, Alex, what was happening in your week? Actually, I want to start off. Well, no, actually, never mind. You go.
Yeah, my week this week.
Want to try that again?
I feel like we're really giddy today. yeah, my week this week. I have to think about this one. My weekend consisted of me driving back home on Thursday night and then driving back here on Friday because of stuff that I had to do back home, which was a lot of driving, but it was nice because I got to see my parents. And then after that, we had a retreat with our fraternity, and that was really nice because I have not spent a whole lot of time with the fraternity guys lately. Which is, it's just really hard because, you know, as you're a graduating senior, it gets hard to keep up with everything that you've been doing throughout college, all of the people that you formerly got the chance to spend a lot of time with, but you know how it is.
Yeah, it is hard. It's just, I mean, you're developing so many relationships, like, mm-hmm. again, we talked about this last podcast, but just relationships all over the place, especially from, like, summer programs or stuff like that where it's like, well, I have a long list of people that I should call if I'm trying to be a good friend, but there's only 24 hours in a day, and yeah, that's all you get. Unless you found some way to cheat time. If so, please stop by our office. We'd love to talk to you about how you figured that out. But for the rest of us, 24 hours, and you just got to use them the best you can. So I definitely get that.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
So yeah, how's your week, Trevor?
So I had a good week, I think. Like you, I really enjoyed the Brotherhood retreat. And I'm going to be honest. This is where, let's be honest, listeners, everybody else, if you're not listening, if you're maybe you're watching the audio file and figuring out what words we're saying from the spikes and the lowerings. But if you are a human being, there is a good chance that sometimes, even though things are probably going to be good, you don't look forward to them. So like I think for me, this Brotherhood retreat, I had this bad conception in my head. I was like, oh, you know, it's just gonna be a lot of time and we're gonna do pointless activities. No, wasn't true, right? I showed up, it was a lot of fun. It was much needed. I think I needed it more than I would have admitted before. It was good to spend time with brothers, people that I hadn't seen in a long time, and kind of like build those bonds again. And I think it's easy to be a critic ahead of time, but then as you experience things, you're like, you know what? I'm pretty stupid for being critical of that. That was my experience this weekend. So it was really good. Yeah, I got to put on a good dinner at our Catholic center or I guess it was a lunch on Sunday, which was a lot of fun. Bunch of fried chicken left. And yeah, Monday I pretty much did homework all day, which was awesome. I think that's, I don't know if anyone else experiences that, but sometimes it's instead of spreading out homework throughout the week, it's a certain day where I just do, I don't know, 12 hours of homework, and mm-hmm. then the next day I don't do any. But the weather being nice, seriously, big play, God, I'm thankful. I think what's so cool about nice weather is it makes it where when I'm like excited for that in-between time, you know, as opposed to being like, oh, it's time to leave and go out in the cold. It's I'm legitimately excited to walk from one class to the other because mm-hmm. I get to be outside and the sun's out. And it's really a day to reflect on just the amazing gifts that we've been given in terms of the fact that it's pleasurable to walk outside on a sunny day and feel the rays. Again, referring back to the Exodus thing, I know this is going to be a continual theme, it seems, but doing the Exodus 90 challenge, it seems like having so many of these different fasts makes me appreciate that much more the things that are naturally pleasurable, such as, you know, walking outside on a beautiful day. It seems like just a really large gift. So yeah, a good week overall, I would say.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So yeah, today we're going to talk a little bit about the pitfalls of student leaders and basically being a student leader in your ministry. So yeah.
Or organization. Yeah. Well, let's just get to the quick here. This is potentially the reality that everyone faces on a college campus, there's a lot of work to be done and not a lot of people doing it as far as all of these ministries, organizations goes. As the scriptures once said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And so in college or even in high school, depending on where you go, and I'm sure this, again, I can't speak to this, but I'm sure that this will be the case for ministry after college, for jobs after college, right? Everyone wants to just do their like little bit and they don't want to put out a whole lot of effort. And so the people that are willing to put out effort get thrown everything on their shoulders because people know that those people are going to contribute to whatever they need to. And so as a student leader in college, that title can quickly become an identity because it seems like that's all that you're doing sometimes is doing programming and doing, you know, meetings and event planning and filling out different spreadsheets for whatever national organization that you have to fill them out for and getting the right documentation and planning more events. It seems like there's this endless cycle of
doing.
Yeah. Here we are back at this theme of doing versus being.
A lot of times being is just better than doing. I think a lot of people just get carried away of... So that verse that you were referring to, it says, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. So pray ye therefore that the master of the harvest sends more workers. So I think a lot of people just get caught up in the harvest is plenty, so the labor and the laborers are few. So they try to work fervently to make up for that. And they just get so caught up and they're just constantly talking about... I hear this a lot, too. People complain about how busy they are, which is just a common thing across the whole culture. But it can be really bad because you kind of get caught up with that identity of being busy, and then you also get this identity of, I am the laborer. I am the one doing all this stuff, and you just work and work. And in reality, you're not doing... A lot of times you're not doing that good of a job because you're not rooted in anything except your own work. And
that's so true.
Sometimes we just need to sit down and pray, God, I'm doing too much right now and I need to focus in on one thing. Lord, let somebody pick up my slack. You know?
Yeah.
We don't want anyone to help us. We end up like... telling ourselves, oh, I'll be able to do more. I can do this thing. I don't need to ask for help. But realistically, everybody's going to be better off if somebody else helps you.
Yeah.
And yeah, sometimes the only way that happens too is if you let a few things slip through the crack.
Yeah.
People get so caught up with this perfectionist mindset and they drive themselves crazy. And sometimes you got to be like, hey, somebody else needs to do this thing or else it's not getting done because I'm not going to be able to do this. And somebody might try to call your bluff and be like, oh, you'll do it in the end, and nobody does it. And then it doesn't get done. And then maybe after that, people start to realize, oh, if I don't, I'm trying to think of a good example. If I don't lead this small group, then nobody else is going. Or if I don't lead this small group, none of these people that I thought would step up are going to step up. So maybe I should step up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's dangerous. I want to get back to something you said right in the beginning of that. You said that we define ourselves, or a lot of people, the common thing is that people say that they're busy, right? And they're defining themselves by this busyness.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that is? Like, why is it that whenever you ask someone how they're doing, and ladies and gentlemen, don't hear me say that I don't say this either. I don't know why I keep saying ladies and gentlemen like it's some. Don't hear me say here that I don't do this too, right? Whenever someone asks you, hey, how's your week going? Oh, busy. Mm-hmm. Why is that? Like, what is it about busyness that we're glorifying? Why is it that we feel the need to like kind of say that we're... Why is it that we feel the need to act as if, you know, we're out here checking off our checklist in order to, I guess, like put ourselves in front of someone and feel like we're justified.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any ideas why that is?
I would say there's something about people wanting to feel like they're being productive. I think we talked a little bit about this last week, but it's not about actually being productive. It's about feeling productive.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that? Do you disagree with that, you think?
Yeah. I mean, I think as far as this idea of productivity goes, people want to feel productive. And I think, like, the more I think about it, it's almost tied up to, like, it's this, like, validation of, like, I matter. Mm. Like, I think people, especially in a culture that we have so much, like, media or, like, you know, mindless things that you can do, I think people have this desire to kind of break free from that. Mm-hmm. And so they want to, like, validate themselves. So they're like, yeah. Oh, I got to do, like, these different meetings and stuff so that I matter, so that I make a difference. And it almost seems to me caught up in this, like, this lack of identity.
Yeah.
It's like a lack of, like, we don't understand who we are, and so we're trying to, like, prove who we are to other people so that other people say, yeah, you're doing good, and we kind of, like, sink into this, like, ease of, like, all right, well, I'm doing all I can, I'm working as hard as I can, so I got to be all right, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like, instead of, like, sitting with the, like, these longer questions of, like, what is my purpose, what does make me validated, I think there's just this natural tendency to just to work as mm-hmm. much as you can. And like I said, not even like that you're doing work, but that you're looking like you're working.
Yeah.
In order that you get those compliments from other people, you get that validation from other people, and now you've put the validation of others through your work as your identity.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But does that make sense? You think?
Yeah, I think that makes sense. A lot of people are just looking for, like, validation. That's why there's people start podcasts and stuff like that that nobody wants to listen to.
Bunch of freaking suckers.
No, but for real, I think there's this this validation aspect to it of people. I don't know how to put this. I think you put it as best as I can put it.
Yeah, I'm just curious where that all comes from. And I think the best idea I have from a very young, my theory, my hypothesis here is that this is coming from this this kind of, like, spirit of individualism, what's been called, like, the Protestant work ethic before, but obviously it applies to our whole country. But this being some of the foundations of our country, this idea of, like, making a new life for yourself, and this mm-hmm. idea of, like, almost as if you have to create. I hope that this is gonna be edited out later. I disagree with that. I don't know. Yeah, it's so hard to try to come up with, I guess, the origins of all this. But I do think that it's damaging. And the reason that I say it's damaging is because a lot of times there's like things that I want to do that I feel guilty for doing. I've gotten to this spirit where it's hard for me to take, like, a legitimate Sabbath.
Yeah.
Because it feels as if it's unnatural and it's not unnatural. Don't hear me say that it's unnatural in and of itself. It's unnatural because I've cultivated or created this habit in myself mm-hmm. of doing and doing and doing and doing. And so the idea of being seems like I'm cheating someone of their time
mm-hmm.
because I've put in my worth into working for others.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think why this is so dangerous, and the more I think about it, it's dangerous because it's close to the truth. It's not the truth, but it's somewhat close to the truth, right? If it was like someone said, hey, you're going to find your worth in, you know, what's an arbitrary thing that doesn't matter too much?
Your club or your sport.
If someone said, hey, dude, like, the way that you're going to find the most worth is you have to find a way to be the best bottle flipper in the world, right? Does anybody remember when that was a craze, the bottle flipping, right? I still do it, to be honest. I'm just going to confess. Every once in a while on a rainy day. But, like, if someone was like, hey, you're going to find your worth in being a good bottle flipper, like, I'm probably not going to believe them. It's probably not that convincing of an identity, right? But if someone were to say, hey, you're going to find your worth in, like, you know, making some nice monument or something like that, that seems a little bit intuitively more believable to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's because there is something very meritorious in working hard with our talents and abilities. But I think where it becomes dangerous, and this is what I think most of us have bought into, myself included, is that like doing those things, like building that monument or, you know, creating music if that's your talent or whatever it is, that those things like are our identity. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I think at that point it becomes just, it becomes hard, especially from a spiritual perspective, to have like a relationship with God, because now at this point we're saying, hey God, I'm going to like do all these really cool things and that's why I'm good. It's not because you made me good, but it's because I did all these cool things. And I think it just puts us in this place of never ending, like searching for like happiness and peace, because you're never going to be able to create enough or feel validated if that's like what you're doing. I think there's an interview with Tom Brady. I don't remember what year it was, but you can look up like Tom Brady interview and type in part of this quote. But he said, like, in the interview, I believe they were asking him about like his accreditations or awards, and he's like, yeah, I've won like 5 Super Bowls, or I don't know how many Super Bowls he'd won at the time. And he was talking about, he has the championship ring, right? He has the model wife. And he said, it feels like I'm missing something. There has to be something more than this, right? So you look at someone who is at the very top of what they do, and the man was still not satisfied. He still felt as if he was longing for something. And I think that's like kind of just the proof, right? Because that Tom Brady is a lot better at football than probably everyone who listens to this podcast is at anything they do, right? But he realizes that's like, he's still not fulfilled by that. And so to me, I don't know. I think that just says at the end of the day that this work ethic, that work hard enough so that you can achieve your dreams. Yeah. It's dangerous because it's almost true.
Yeah. I get that, because I think that there is a sense of, like, by giving yourself through your talent, by giving of yourself, that is where we find our identity. Is like, I can't remember the exact phrasing, but basically, like, the biblical, a man finds himself by laying his life down. And
that... no man has greater love than this, to lay down his life for a friend? Is that what you're referring to?
No, I can't remember what I'm referring to now. But, like, going off of that, like, no man has greater love than this, to lay his life down for a friend. Through that, like, almost doing thing mindset, you're laying your life down for your friends, because you are doing things for your friends. But sometimes we find our identity in the things that we're doing and the fact that we're doing things, instead of the fact that we are loving our friends by doing things for them.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we oftentimes end up getting caught up in that mindset. And I think that's where it becomes toxic really quickly. Do you get what I mean? Am I adding to what you're saying?
Yeah, no, you're definitely right. Because you're right. And I think that's where the lie is. That you put that a lot better than I did. Because the lie is in that bit where it's like, objectively, you might be doing the exact same things. Like, someone could observe what you're doing, and they could watch you do these exact same actions. But at the root of it is a heart issue, because in one, it's an attempt to prove that I matter. And the other, it's saying, I know I matter, and because of that, I'm going to use these gifts and talents I've been given to love someone.
Mm-hmm.
And those are, like, the... while the actions might be the same, the fulfillment from those two actions are night and day different.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Because in the giving of oneself to others, you're filled with this, like, sense of, I guess the natural gratifications of love, right? Of giving yourself to someone. Like, instinctively, if you've ever given someone a gift, or if you've ever served in you know, in some kind of ministry, or served in a community service way or something like that, you get some sort of gratification naturally from loving. Not that you should be seeking that, but you know that that's there, right? But whenever you're doing those exact same things to, like, check off your list of I'm important and I do important things, it's empty, you know? And I think it's easy for all of us to fit into that, because I believe that the evil one, Satan, is working through our culture to pervert, you know, this very good thing, and just slightly twist it enough that we get very confused and very dissatisfied.
It kind of is similar to the way in which, like, a lot of people do community service hours because it makes them look good, you know? Mm-hmm. People, like, do good things for the community, but I don't want to diss an organization, but a certain organization I used to work with, when I was working with them, a lot of the people that I was working with just were there volunteering just because they, like, felt better about themselves. And even the people they were serving, they were kind of, they could be jerks sometimes because they were kind of like, well, I'm here helping you. Like, you should be happy that I'm here helping you. They didn't have a servant mindset. They had a, like, because I'm serving you, like, I feel better about myself and I feel above you for that. And it's, yeah, it's just so dangerous. And it, but it's also really common. People just, like, have this mindset of, yeah, if you want to be a good person, you got to volunteer. Like, and that's what makes you a good person is the fact that you're volunteering, not the fact that you're trying to show your love to another person through the love language of, you know, acts, you know?
Acts of service.
Acts of service, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. And so I think that's honestly one of the most dangerous pitfalls for student leaders.
Yeah.
Is, like, to quickly take this impetus to serve and create in yourself, like, a validation cycle where you're just continually validating yourself by, you're validating yourself by, like, I worked hard enough that I'm a good person, as opposed to working hard to serve others and being like, I'm very grateful for this opportunity to love another person. And, you know, and it's not always that clean cut, I think, in practice, right? It's easy to sit and to talk about it. And a lot of times it's a lot more like gray whenever you're in the middle of that, the act of service.
Yeah.
Right. But instinctively, right, you can often change your encounter of any situation by framing it from the right mindset from the start. And I think as far as this concept of serving others goes, if you frame it from that correct context of giving of yourself, then it's going to be a completely different experience than you would have had if you were framing it from the context of, I need to do this so that I check it off my checklist mm-hmm. for the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's hard to avoid that. So for student leaders out there, I think it, yeah, very vital that you always remember your why. Like, why am I doing this act? Even, like, you know, your why for being in an organization, your why for stepping up to a leadership role, but then ultimately your why for even the little things you do on a day-to-day basis. Yeah.
Also, I would add, I think there's no reason to complain about things that you're doing when you're doing them for service. I think if you're finding yourself complaining about the things that you're doing, then you've already found yourself in a bad circumstance and you should really reflect a lot on why you're complaining and why you're doing the things in the first place and whether or not you actually love the people that you're serving.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point, right? That's a good way to check yourself in the midst of this, like, difficult kind of bridge that you're walking over with the pit on both sides, or specifically on the one side of turning into validating yourself. If you start complaining, that may be a telltale sign that your heart has slowly shifted from where you originally started.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And especially if it's, again, if you see something wrong with, like, a process or something like that, and you want to correct it, mm-hmm. that's not complaining. That's constructively critiquing. But if you're just venting to someone about how bad something is or how terrible this is or something like that, chances are that in your heart, I've developed this attitude that's saying it's no longer about me giving, it's about me getting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's really hard.
Speaking of, like, that whole, like, venting thing, this could be an episode on its own, but I think another really big pitfall for student leaders can be gossip.
Ooh.
You know, this is a pretty big subject, but, like, people, like, it's so common. People, like, complaining about things to people who aren't part of the problem or the solution, you know, and gossip can be so common and destructive. The phrase loose lips shrink, sink ships. Eh.
Get that out there. Wrong. Come on. Come on.
Loose lips sink ships.
There we go. Let's go.
10 times fast. It just comes to mind, though, because, you know, you could be having a mostly good friendship with someone, and then one small thing kind of irritates you a little bit, and then you go around telling people, like, oh, this person does this, this. That could ruin a friendship so quickly, but it's so common.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's... It's crazy how easy it is to just like say those things to people.
Yeah.
And I think what's crazy about it is we all know what it feels like to be gossiped about. Like everyone knows that, right? And we know that we don't like it. So why is it that we continue to do that to other people? You know, that's the thing that gets me when I look at like there. I mean, this is an everyday thing. I'll be like, why did I say that? If I would have been the other person who heard that, I would have been upset. I look at it like 5 minutes afterwards, and I just look back like, that was really stupid of me. Mm-hmm. Like, why did I say that? And I think it's simply because it's the same thing with this. It's a cultural norm to gossip, right? It's the same thing with the seeking validation and work and being busy. That's a cultural norm. It's also a cultural norm to complain and to complain about other people mm-hmm. like on a consistent basis, right? And not only is it a norm, but it's almost a way, we talked about this topic the other day, it's almost a way of like, you can bond with people, and I shouldn't say bond, you can like form surface level connections with people over gossip, over complaining, right?
It's easy to feel part of a group if you have a common thing to complain about. Yeah.
Right. So instead of taking the time to like develop a commonality of something good you all have together, it takes effort to ask questions of people and get to know them, right? You can just complain about your coworker who maybe, you know, he smells, or maybe, you know, she talks too much about her boyfriend, or what, you know, whatever it is. Like, you complaining about that person behind their back literally changes nothing. It doesn't change anything. But yet somehow we still are captivated by this. And I think it's because people like to kind of have that connection, and so a lot of times we'll do whatever it takes for it instead of doing the work to form connections that are worthwhile, right? Kind of harkening back, throwback, Wednesday here to some of our first episodes about friendship. You know, we're all seeking connection, and I think gossip is a false gospel in that sense. It's a fake way of forming connections, and it's and it can tear down like a ministry or an organization.
Yeah. Gossip can ruin a whole organization. It's crazy. It's like, and also, here's another thing. People are so quick to justify it. So quick. They'll be like, well, I was just venting. You know, venting's one of the really common ones. And also, I've heard this a lot. Well, it's true, though, you know. But right. It's like, but...
Like, why are we so quick to justify those mm-hmm. things?
Yeah. I think there's no good reason to talk about somebody else if they don't know, especially if they don't know that you're saying these things about them.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I mean, because it's like, what are you solving, right?
Yeah.
Like, in what way, if you're looking towards a problem with someone, right? If you're looking at it outside of this emotional heat of the moment, you step back. If someone's behavior is an issue or a problem that is to be solved, your gossiping is not going to contribute to a solution.
Mm-hmm.
It's counterproductive, right? Because if that gossip reaches their ears, it's only going to magnify the problem. Yeah. It's not going to solve it.
Also, even if it doesn't reach their ears, it just perpetuates the problem. Like, for example, say somebody, I don't know, somebody was just made a dumb decision, and you start telling people about it and telling people about it, and then everybody knows about this thing, and they just look down on this person because of this dumb decision that they made. But they can't live it down because people just keep talking about it, and it doesn't just go away anymore. It just perpetuates, and people look at them differently because of something they heard about them, not even an interaction that they actually had with them.
Yeah, it definitely forms people into roles, right? It puts them into boxes, because now you've boxed someone in by this one thing that you've observed them, that everything that they do is judged from that lens.
Yeah. And even if it's true, it kind of overshadows all those other things that they've done, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So gossip, just don't do it. And I think when I say just don't do it, obviously that's a little reductionistic to the issue, the depth of the issue.
Yeah.
But like, make it a point to purposefully attempt to not gossip. Mm-hmm. And if you want to do that, just make it a point to talk to the person.
Yeah.
Like, grow some courage and some ability to maybe, like, risk offending people, because our culture, I think, is... Yeah, one thing I see when I look at, like, some people from my parents' generation versus our generation, I think that we hate to offend people. We're really worried about people liking us, because we live in this society where it's like, you have to, you know, the worst offense that you could do is to have an opinion that maybe offends someone. And so I think that over even it makes gossip just that much more easier to do, right? Because yeah. It makes the confrontation that actually could lead to a solution that much more difficult. So yeah, if you have a problem with someone, if you think you like that actually is something that can be solved, bring it up to them. Like, go to them and do it in a loving way, obviously, but say it to them. And I've seen, like, I've done this with people, because I used to, like, I mean, I'm still not great at it, but I used to be really bad at it. And someone started to kind of tell me, like, hey, Trevor, you're limited in your ability to love by your ability to confront people on things that they're doing incorrectly if you have, like, a relationship with them that you can call them out. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, fair enough. I suck. right. It was kind of like a shot. But since then, right, I made it a point to start calling people out that I love if I see them doing something that's destructive. And yeah, I'm not going to sit here and say that those conversations were easy.
Yeah.
Or that I'm really good at them, or that they always go well. But at the end, I always feel like I've attempted to love them to the best of my ability. And I can tell you, there's been multiple times when I've had those conversations with people where they come back to me and they say, yeah, I was mad at you at first, but X, Y, and Z, things that they changed in their life and how they're happy for it. So as far as the gossip thing goes, if it's actually legitimately worth your time, confront them. If it's not, learn how to love people better and be more, maybe more tolerant, and that might be good too.
Yeah, and like going off of that, like I've had situations where like some people are just kind of like... you know, I've had situations where I've talked with people who it's taken months for them to forgive me after that conversation. And then, like, months down the line, they've come back up to me and been like, hey, you remember that conversation we had? I'm actually really glad we had it. And between that first conversation and those months later, like, there's just tension between us. And, like, it's obviously not going to happen with most people. Mm-hmm. That those specific cases are when some people, well, I can be a little bit forward sometimes, and some people don't take criticism as well, and so, but in the end, like, things turn out better because of it, because of a little bit of like courage I had to not go around complaining about these people, but instead telling it straight to their face. Another thing I wanted to bring up, I don't know if you want to bring up what our small group is doing, what we kind of heard from another podcast to do.
Yeah, I real quick want to insert before we go into that, that as far as this all ties back to being a student leader, you have an opportunity as a student leader to call out things that you see that are not going well, either in like individuals in the organization or in the organization as a whole. And if you do those things from a spirit of love and fraternally correct those issues, you are going to be a much more credible and just simply good student leader than you would be if you were to use, you know, a fake solution and gossip about them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so Alex, go ahead and talk about that.
So idea. Yeah, so we heard this from another podcast actually that, it's called The Porch. It's a church based.
It's also, known as the Watermark Community in Dallas, Texas. Mm-hmm. And they have, satellite churches and different church branches all around the South, and even around the world. But anyway, they have a really good podcast. Go check it out if you have a chance. But Alex,
Their ministry team does this thing. They talked about it in the in their episode about gossip. They do this thing where if one of them talks behind the other's back to another one of them, whoever did the talking has 24 hours to tell the person that they talked about exactly what it was that they talked about and kind of ask for their forgiveness. If they don't do that within that 24 hours, the person that they talked to has has an obligation to reach out to this person that was talked about and say, hey man, this person was talking about you and said these things behind your back. And it seems like extreme, but it's just an extreme way in which you can just kill gossiping through that way. Because, like, it's a way in which that kind of culture of gossip cannot be even allowed to thrive. And this is something that we've kind of tried to adopt amongst a couple of the guys. Is like we, if we hear somebody talking unproductively about somebody else behind their back, then we're trying to do this thing where we call them out and say, like, hey, dude, you got 24 hours.
Get after it.
Get after it. You got to go admit your faults and ask for forgiveness.
Yeah.
Talk with this person about and this issue.
Obviously, it sounds difficult, and that's the point, because, right? Because overcoming, like, any sort of, let's just put it plainly, right? We've cultivated an addiction to gossip. We enjoy gossip. We share gossip because it's pleasurable, because it has this temporary sense of, like, it's kind of like when you get the secret on someone and you feel like kind of this sense of having power, right? So I would claim, and I think this is not a crazy claim, we have an addiction to gossip. And so if you want to, how do you break any addiction? You form accountability. You have a plan, and you stick to that plan with that accountability. And so that's what this is, right? It's saying, hey, we're not gonna give provision to a situation in which this can actually grow. Instead, we're gonna choke out the roots by not giving it the nutrients it needs to live, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so instead, we're going to grow out the spirit of gratitude and the spirit of love that's going to either silence ourselves because it's really just us being petty, or talk about it because it's actually a legitimate problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, super excited for how that goes in the future. But
yeah,
student leaders, a lot of pitfalls out there. But I also think that you have a unique opportunity if you do seek leadership in these organizations, these ministries, to impact people's lives, as long as you don't get caught in the identity trap, and as long as you don't get caught in a lot of the things that can develop along the way that are going to rob you of your joy, such as gossip.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any other pitfalls you want to hit on?
Yeah, no, I have no other pitfalls to really talk about. I'm sure there are obviously a lot more, but these are just two lay men talking about just a few problems, not trying to solve all of the world's problems.
Just putting them in our own terms.
Just a few. Yeah, absolutely. So, hey, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. I'm just going to keep using that for the rest of the time. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, for listening to this week's episode of Layman's Terms. Send us back any feedback if you have it. Have a beautiful week. I hope that you have sunny weather where you do. If not, offer it up, and we'll see you next week.
Sweet. Well, this has been Layman's Terms. My name is Alex Shannon.
My name is Trevor Boroka.
Thank you for joining us.
Have a great week.
How was your week, Trevor?
It was a good week. I think that... I'm going to have to edit that out. Put something in front of me, slamming my cup.
All right. So, yeah, how was your week, Trevor?
You're saying all of those... Not all of those are me slamming my cup.
A couple of them.
Few.
Majority.
Yeah, I mean... So I had a good...